are back, baby. Whew, it's been a long time.
Straight off COVID.
The Coach's Office Sports Podcast is back once again. A little reframed, redone some things. New personnel, old personnel, little changed up. Let's see how this goes, man. We had a little Christmas break. We had a little COVID break, which, God, that was rough. But we're back, and I'm loving it. Oh, man, it's just a good time to be here. You know, it's me. It's the podcast OG, Coach Smith. I'm here. Yes. Boo me if you want. Cheer me if I let you. And, of course, the fan favorite, Mr. Coach V is in the building. Coach, what's going on?
Oh, you know, just LSU letting me down on all these parlays. How are they going to start 15-1? Go 1-5.
Well, you know, some people would say that you're down on your luck, and some would say that you have a gambling problem.
Yeah. What do you think?
You know what boat I'm in, pal. I gave you the 1-800 gambler number already. But anyways, we missed a lot of NFL playoffs. You know, being out, like we said, with COVID and Christmas break and all that stuff. But the playoffs are insane, right?
Let's get what we really want to talk about, Coach Smith. The Royal Rumble.
Well, you know, that's what I really want to talk about, right? I'm a humongous wrestling fan, and the Royal Rumble is my favorite pay-per-view. The ratings were kind of down on this one. People kind of frowned on it a little bit, but, you know, like I say, the Royal Rumble's like pizza, you know? When it's good, it's really, really good, and when it's bad, it's still pretty good.
You know? My girl Ronda Rousey back, main eventing was Flair again in WrestleMania. I'm excited to see that. So, you know what that means? WrestleMania party.
Yeah. I get pretty rambunctious at things like that because I'm such a big fan. You know, like any little thing can happen that most people wouldn't really bat an eye at, and I get pretty fired up about some of those things. So you may see a new side to Coach Smith that you've never seen before when it comes to that.
Rambunctious, big word.
Oh, yeah. I like to extend my vocabulary every once in a while. But if we're going to get going really with this show like we have been, we really need to make up some time and talk about the NFL playoffs. But before we do that, Ed, would you like to introduce the guest on today's show?
The one and the only Ricky Guetta. What's going on, Coach?
Yeah, I like hearing the cheers and stuff coming from that sound, you know. And we're not saying we're fan favorites, but, you know, we didn't get booed like Coach Smith did.
Somebody's got to be the heel on the show, right?
I like it. Ready to talk some NFL playoffs, man.
All right, Coach. Let's start right from where it left off on Sunday. Did the Bengals win the game, or did the Chiefs lose the game?
I personally think the Chiefs lost the game. Just like, you know, the week before when they had Josh Allen and company playing there at Arrowhead. You kind of felt like when that game went into overtime, you know, whoever had the ball last was going to win the game. And it went down to overtime. It came down to a coin flip, essentially. The Chiefs won the toss and went down and won the game. And you felt the same thing was going to happen again. You felt whoever had the ball last, whoever got the ball in overtime was going to win the game. Chiefs won the toss again at Arrowhead. And Mahomes threw that game away. The funniest thing I saw, I don't know if you guys saw the meme where they're like, you know how the whole 13 seconds where they're like, Mahomes won the game in 13 seconds and the Cowboys couldn't even run a play in 14 or whatever. I saw a meme after the game. They were like, Patrick Mahomes lost the game in 13 seconds. Can you believe it? Just 13 seconds it took him to lose that game. It was pretty fun.
There's something about that number 13, I guess, this NFL postseason. Yeah. It's kind of killing some people. I see where you're coming from on that, but man, there's something magical about Cincinnati, dude. Granted, the Chiefs kind of did blow it, but you have to have some moxie to come back from, what was it, 21-3 at one point in the second half, I think. And man, Joe Burrow put it together. He didn't play his best game. The time that they played the Chiefs before, he threw for 400 or 500 yards against them. He didn't do that this time, but he had just enough left, just enough gumption to go out there and get his team a win and take Cincinnati to the Super Bowl for the first time since the 80s. And that's huge for those guys.
What I was really wanting to see was Joe Burrow win the coin toss. because I really thought he was going to pull Matt Hasselbeck and say, we want the ball and we're going to score, because that's the kind of guy he is, and he's got that magic going with him right now, and I really think he would have done something like that. That would have been awesome in itself.
Joe Burrow reminds me of another Joe. He reminds me of Joe Namath. He's got that cool factor to him. Like, Joe Burrow seems like a dude that I want to be friends with. He's just like, he seems real chill, real cool all the time. Like, I don't know, man. There's just something about that dude. I think this guy's going to be a major player for a really, really long time.
The dude's a winner, man. Everywhere, I mean, he's gone. I mean, he was a third stringer at Ohio State and bet on himself and said, you know what, I'm leaving. I think I'm better than this. I think I'm a starting quarterback. And went to LSU, and it all changed when he threw that pick six against, what was it, UCF? And the year before in the, what was it, I forget what it was. I think it was the Fiesta Bowl?
Oh, shoot, I don't remember.
It was, yeah, it was whenever, but yeah, he threw that pick six, and they freaking destroyed him. It was a nasty blindside. I don't know if y'all remember that, but it was. They were like that, ever since that throw, they're like, Joe Burrow came back like a different man. And he came back man-possessed, went out, balled out with Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson there at LSU. And his first full year in the NFL is taking the Bengals to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, who would have thought? I don't think there's ever been anybody who's won the Heisman, the national championship, and the Super Bowl yeah, as a quarterback. I don't think that's ever happened.
I saw that stat too. There was like, no, it's never been done before.
And there's a real possibility that could happen here in the next couple of weeks. Joe Burrow really has a legit chance, I think, to bring a Super Bowl to Ohio. And the fact that it's not the Browns, it's the Bengals, kind of surprising to me.
Let's not forget Ja'Marr Chase, though. He's a dude. Not only Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins.
Tyler Boyd.
Joe Mixon. They have some players on that offense, man.
Mm-hmm. Joe Mixon. They said Joe.
Unfortunately, none of them are on the line.
And they're fairly young, too.
Yeah.
If you look at it, I want to say the oldest one of that group right there is Joe Mixon, and he's not that old. He's 26, I think, 27. So they're going to have some longevity here. Let's just see if they can keep it going, and they're not just a one-year wonder. Maybe they can make some stability there in Cincinnati with those guys.
I think with Joe Burrow at the helm, he got a fair shot.
Yeah.
They got a fair shot at making some noise. Time over year after year. And on to the next game. Rams, Niners.
Poor Coach Ward. Yeah, Coach Ward, for those of you guys that don't know, is a really big San Francisco 49ers fan. And he was just crushed. He was crushed like someone stepping on a bug, not even knowing what happened, man. He came in that next Monday and he was just a destroyed person.
he sent multiple texts like 3 hours after the game on why he was still so upset that the 49ers had lost that game and they need to fire everybody. And
but I'm glad he was talking crap about the Cowboys all week long after they beat us. And
I will say, though, let's give credit where credit is due. For as much crap as Jimmy Garoppolo takes, that dude wins football games.
Yeah,
man. He may not be fancy or statistically great, but there's one statistic that he does have, and it's wins. He wins football games.
If I was a free agent, if I was a team looking for a free agent quarterback, I would really look into him. Whether they trade for him or not, I don't know what they were going to ask for him. But hey, you got to really look at it, because that guy wins games. You're right, Coach.
He's lost two playoff games, a Super Bowl and an NFC Championship.
Yes.
Like, that's insane.
And the only reason that he didn't lose one before is because he got hurt, and I don't think the 49ers made the playoffs the maybe 2 years he had got hurt towards the end of the year, and they didn't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first year when he got traded there, they won their last, what, six games?
Yeah.
When he got there. And then the next year, they freaking go to the Super Bowl, lose it, and then last year, of course, he got hurt. And
so that I think that blame for that game lays more on the shoulders of Shanahan than it does than it does Garoppolo, because Garoppolo did Garoppolo things. He played like he always plays. I think Shanahan kind of, you know, let that one fall by the wayside. But all credit to the Rams, man. Those guys, they play well. That's a pretty solid unit over there. They got a lot of playmakers on that offense and on that defense. It's hard not to see the Rams, you know, being where they are right now, especially with the addition of Matthew Stafford.
Hometown Texas boy. Mm-hmm. Gotta love that.
OBJ, too, you know, looks like a whole new player in L.A. than he did in Cleveland. Cleveland just, the Baker Mayfield effect on him. I know Smith don't like to hear that, but I mean, they gave him a solid quarterback, and this dude is now and a solid head coach, offensive-wise head coach. And, I mean, he has brought OBJ out of the dark.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and we had talked about it before on the show, you know, that Matthew Stafford looked like a completely new person once he donned the new shade of blue, the Rams blue, as opposed to that lighter colored Detroit blue that just seems to be the color of the garbage cans in Detroit. Man, I feel so good for this guy. 11th year in the league, finally make it to the playoffs, and then, you know, you have some players around you, you have a really good head football coach, and you get to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I feel really good for the guy. I want to say I'm proud of him, like he's like my son or something, so I don't know if I can actually say that, but I'm happy for the guy, man. I'm happy he's finally getting his just due and actually getting to play in some meaningful games that mean something, not just to him, but to the entire league and the whole world, really.
Yes, showing off his stuff. A lot of people don't want to watch a whole bunch of Detroit games. And if they were, it was for Calvin Johnson. Yeah. Not even for Matthew Stafford, which Matthew Stafford's making all kinds of passes from crazy angles and doing his stuff. He's always been good. He's just in a bad organization. Sometimes that's the way it happens.
Even in Detroit, they were going, what, 3-13, 5-11. 7-9 every single year. Mm-hmm. He was still at the very tip top of the league in like fourth quarter comebacks. Mm-hmm. And they weren't winning any games. That means the ones that they did win, he was having to put the team on his back and go win at the end of the game. So we've always known that the guy's had it. Now he's just getting a chance to show that he has it.
I like that one meme. Have you seen it where it was like Matthew Stafford and Eminem are playing at the Super Bowl? It's the closest Detroit's been to a Super Bowl and forever. It's pretty funny.
What's with all the memes today, Coach?
Yeah, man. I'm an internet meme guy.
He's our internet savant.
Yeah.
Over here.
Twitter is my life.
I like it.
Let's get into the Super Bowl then. You know, we kind of talked about the championship games a little bit, but we've already laid it out. Joe Burrow and the Bengals, Matthew Stafford and the Rams. Who do you want to win? Who do you think's going to win? Who are you rooting for?
I'm personally rooting for the Rams. I know it's real easy to get on the Joe Burrow bandwagon. I mean, the dude's a winner. He's done everything you asked. He plays with that swag, you know. But being from Texas, Matt Stafford's a Texas guy. Highland Park grad. You think, you know, you have the best defensive player in the league probably for the past 5-7 years. Yeah. Aaron Donald. You know, and I think it's time that he finally gets his ring. And now you're taking a team that's been there, you know. Your quarterback hasn't been there, obviously, but now, you know, Aaron Donald's been there. Von Miller's won a ring.
He was a Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, his Super Bowl, Super Bowl MVP. Cooper Kupp has been there. You get Sonny Michel, who's been in the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl, actually, on a walk-off with the Patriots.
Yeah.
You get a team that has a lot of experience in that department. Versus a team that's a lot of young guys, you know, Jamar. But they have played in big games. Like, you know, they played national championships and stuff. But Super Bowl is a whole different ballgame, man. Whole different ballgame. Yeah. And I'm okay with whoever wins, but I'm rooting for and want, and I think the Rams are going to pull it off.
You know, you talked about that Joe Burrow bandwagon, mm-hmm. and I'm on it. 100% I am on it. Joe Burrow, like I said, man, that's Joe Cool, dude. Like, I'm rooting for the Bengals. I'm hoping for the Bengals. You're talking about, you know, the Stafford being from Texas thing, which that's big for all of us. Like, we're all Texas guys. But for me, I have a little vested interest when it comes to the Bengals because of my Oklahoma Sooners, right? They're number one and number two running backs are both OU guys. They played together at Oklahoma.
Yeah, I see.
They're playing together right now in Cincinnati. Joe Mixon, Samaje Perine, you know, so that swayed me just a little bit. Rooting for the Bengals hardcore, but at the end of the day, man, I think the Rams are going to be too much for them.
Mm-hmm. Bengals, going with the Bengals, and I'm taking a different perspective to it. I'm going just because it's someone new in the Super Bowl.
Right.
We talked about it, the 80s, Cincinnati's been at in the Super Bowl. And not only that, it, when have they made a run, like, to the AFC Championship? Can we think of the last time that happened?
There was the 80s.
I was going to say probably the
1988, so, if I'm not mistaken. Because
they said that no text had ever been sent out that the Bengals had won a playoff game.
Yeah.
So, now I understand now, your tweet.
Yes. So, yeah, they said no text had ever been sent out that the Rams won a playoff, or the Bengals had won a playoff game, and now we're sending out texts that the Bengals are going to the Super Bowl.
I just, it's different. They're different. I like what Joe Burrow's doing. I like Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. I like it. I'm feeling it. And like I said, it's someone new. And in case anyone's wondering, the over-under came out at 48 points and minus 4 to the Rams.
Okay, so that's part of the question, right? That's who you're rooting for. But do you really think that the Bengals have a chance? Because I'm rooting for them too, but I really do think that the Rams are going to pull it out.
Yes, they have. They clearly have a chance because they're hot right now. You don't just come out of a game like you did with the Chiefs and come out flat, which it does happen. And some people might be saying they will come out flat because they shouldn't even be there. But I really think that Joe Burrow has them ready to go. They believe in him. And I really think that they got a chance. And I think that they're for sure at least going to cover the spread. But,
wait a minute.
Hey, guys. What's
there
up?
He is.
Our guest number two, Coach Nasty Nolan.
Hey, what's going on? What are we talking about?
You're right on cue. Super Bowl. Who do you got?
Who do you think is going to win? And who are you rooting for?
Oh, man. Well, my heart's rooting for the Bengals. I lived in Ohio for a while. There's some diehard fans there that have been suffering for a while. My heart wants them to win. My pocketbook and my head says the Rams are going to win and going to win. I'm not going to say convincingly, but I think they're going to control it. The one thing that the Bengals have for them is that Matt Stafford's the quarterback for the Rams, and he likes to throw the ball around. Now, he's played great during the postseason, don't get me wrong, but I can't ignore the fact that he's, you know, trying to throw the Rams out of games before with his interceptions and stuff. And I heard you guys talking about, you know, they could come out flat. It is a big game for the Bengals, but this is a huge game for Stafford. I mean, you spent all those years in Detroit through that suffering. Now you're in the game. How are you going to come out? You're going to come out jittery, or are you going to come out firing? Right. Neither team's going to be able to run the ball, I don't think. They're going to try to run the ball. I don't think they're going to be successful doing it. So you're going to have to rely on the arms. So who are you going to rely on? I mean, right now I think, you know, the Rams have more weapons than the Bengals do. Jamar Chase is terrific, don't get me wrong. But you got, you know, Kupp and, you know, Higby. You got, you know, Beckham. You know, those guys all over the place. From an investment point of view, I like the over 40.5. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, relatively high-scoring. I'm looking at like a 31-20 type game. I do think the Rams are going to win by more than a touchdown. But I do hope for a good game.
Before we extend this a little bit, Coach Garrett brought up a good point, and Coach Nolan wasn't here yet, so I'd like to get his perspective on this. Coach Garrett said that a big thing that he's looking at is the experience factor, right? The Rams have a lot of guys who have been there before. Maybe not all necessarily won a Super Bowl, but they've all been there.
The Bengals
do not have that. How do you think that plays in with how it's going to go?
I think it does play a part, but your biggest piece of that team is your quarterback, who has zero experience in Super Bowls and, you know, has very little experience in postseason play. You would hope that those guys would, show the ropes, tell them how to handle. Because, I mean, you've heard stories, you know, first time Super Bowl teams that have a little too much fun.
Yeah.
You know, now Los Angeles, it's a good time. It's not South Beach.
I mean, even prior to this year, I think Stafford, this is really the only year he's played in like meaningful games, even in college. Like,
right.
Yeah, I mean, he was at Georgia. Georgia back then would always, you know, they were up there, don't get me wrong, but they still hadn't, you know, they didn't play in title games back then.
Yeah, Georgia was like a 8-5 kind of football team whenever.
Yeah, they didn't even play in the SEC championship. It was always Florida back then, you know, from their side.
I think that is a great point. I mean, is the moment going to be too big for Stafford? And that's what worries me. Like, if you are supporting the Rams, what Stafford are you going to get? Yeah. Are you going to get the Stafford that try to throw three picks against Detroit and let him in again? Or are you going to get the guy who stepped up in crunch time, you know, against...
At Tampa.
My guess is you're going to get something in the middle. And
Will that be enough?
You know, but the thing that worries me about Cincinnati is I still can't ignore that they gave up 9 sacks.
Yeah, I just said their O-line is...
And now you're playing against... Aaron Donald and Von Miller are on the same defensive line.
All those guys, I can't ignore that. And people say the Rams secondary is suspect. They're not.
They have Jalen Ramsey.
They got Ramsey.
That guy's a lockdown corner.
He is.
Well, they do, granted, have a 37-year-old strong safety in Aaron Waddle who just got out of retirement a few weeks ago. But that dude can still play football.
Right. I mean, he was packing groceries 3 weeks ago, and then the Rams gave him a call. Hey, you want to play some safety?
Actually, he was playing pickup basketball.
Oh, pickup basketball. It's all
the same thing.
It's the same.
Not really, but okay.
But, yeah. You know, I just hope for a good game. And
I think that's the general consensus, is that we're all happy that it's new people. We're all just hoping that it's a good football game. I don't want to see a 42-10 football game.
No.
Best case scenario is we see the Bengals win and we're like, oh my gosh, like who would have thought that like the Bengals were going to be in this situation, and you're seeing Joe Burrow hold up the Cincinnati Bengals are Super Bowl champions. Or we're going to get the Rams and you'd be like, Matt Stafford went through years and years and years of heartache to finally move the cities and win it.
The storylines all kind of work out to where it's going to be fun no matter what happens.
Let me pose this question. With Joe Burrow, remember another second-year quarterback who took his team to the AFC Championship game and then fell short? Or was it to the Super Bowl and fell short? And they're like, oh, he'll be back, and never won one. Is that Joe Burrow? Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Dan Marino, second year, took the Dolphins, and they, you know. So, I mean, are we looking at a similar? Because I'll be quite honest, I don't have any confidence in their head coach. He seems to make some really interesting decisions that have really, I mean, they panned out, don't get me wrong, but are they a flash in the pan? Are they going to struggle after this?
I mean, this might be their one and only chance at it.
Right, which would be really sad because I like Burrow. I like him a lot. And I think he's a great kid and a great quarterback. And, you know, Cincinnati fans are really, I mean, they're a good fan base. You know, I can't say that about a lot of fan bases, but they are a solid fan base that are pretty knowledgeable. So
I think they don't know any better, so that's what gives them a chance. They're young, and this might carry over for another year, but you put up a good question there. I hope it's not. I don't think they are because they're so talented, but they really have to improve that offensive line before they can do anything.
I really do think that a part of this, too, this question is like nowadays, I think the teams that win, especially if they have older quarterbacks, are the teams that have a quarterback that will take the Tom Brady-esque approach and not take $50 million a year to play. The guys that will take 25 or 30 so that they can pay other players to come play with them. So as long as Joe Burrow's on this rookie contract, they're still going to have money to sign talent. But the real question is, once he signs his real first deal, how's that going to work out for everyone? How is it going to play out to where how much money he's going to get as opposed to how much they're going to be able to pay other guys to come to Cincinnati and play with him?
All right, well, that's a good time for a break right there. We got a word from our sponsor, Coach Guetta. You know what? Why don't you want to just hang around here and finish the podcast with us?
I will, under one condition. Nasty Knowledge stays too.
Oh, of course. That's not just got on the mic.
I was just going to drop off the lasagna and leave, but hey, I'll stick around. Why not? Let's get this done.
All right, so we'll be right back to you after a word from our sponsors. Coach Guerra, you know what I haven't seen running around here very much lately?
No, I haven't. I haven't paid attention, to be honest.
That herd of buffalo that used to be around here.
Man, you know, they carried a lot of weight.
Yeah, they did. You know why we haven't seen them?
I'm on it. Do we not have a friend that specializes in this?
We have a friend that specializes in hauling heavy equipment. Mr. Brian Juvers from Bach Trucking. Actually, it's Coach Nolan's very personal friend. Coach Nolan, you want to tell us a little bit
about that? Yeah, Bach Trucking, the number one in the industry of moving out herd when you need herd moved out. One of our top drivers, Joe Moore, he drives, you know, he does the herd moving and gets that, you know, those herds in and out of where you need them to go. Brian Juvers is standing by right now, waiting your phone call, bachtrucking@gmail.com.
You know, that Amore fellow was like the number one earner in the upper west, midwest region, and he came all the way down here to Texas from Illinois or Indiana or something like that. They all run together.
What I did is I called my buddy Brian, like, Brian, we got a herd problem. I explained the situation. He's like, I got your man. Brought Joe down from Illinois, and he came down, took care of the problem, herd him on out. And like I said, it's a great company. I mean, Joey rakes in probably about $3,600 a month, and you know he gets to see the United States, gets to see a lot of great stuff, and loves what he does. I mean, just
does a great job at it. Yeah. Ever since that herd has been out, we have not seen the herd again.
No.
So whether you have a Class A CDL and are looking for work, or you just need something heavy hauled away, get a hold of Brian Juvers, bachtrucking@gmail.com for anything that you may need.
I don't mind the herd, by the way. Welcome back, y'all. All right, I got a question coming up for everybody, and it doesn't have to do about football. Ooh. You can't always ask football questions around here. But, so I was watching the Oklahoma State basketball game this morning, and Chelsea Gregg, the commentator, posed a question to her colleagues during the middle of the game, and I thought this would be a great question for the podcast. Does LeBron James leave LA if Bronny James is a one and done and gets drafted to go play with Bronny James? Who wants to go first?
I'll let LeBron over here.
I will take this. I'll give you some time to sit on this. Here's the way I see it. Because I have a strong feeling in my heart that LeBron James wants to get at least one more title before he retires. Okay? So, if Bronny James is a one and done and gets drafted somewhere that might have a chance to win one, then I could see him going there. If not, I don't know if he does, man. But does he... I think another question to go along with what I'm trying to say is, does LA even have a chance to win another title? Because that's what I think he wants to do. I don't know. I don't think he does it if LA has a chance to win a title. But if Bronny goes somewhere that has a chance to win one, then yes, I think he does.
I personally think, yes, he wants to win a title. Every NBA player wants to win a title. I don't think it's the highest priority for him. I mean, it's high priority for him this year. But has there ever been a father-son team in the NBA? Not to my knowledge. So I think he does. I think he leaves LA to go to a team that would draft Bronny, and so that him and, you know, it could be father son. He could be like the Griffies of the basketball world.
Which would be pretty cool.
It would be cool. I like it. I'm not a LeBron hater. I think he's one of the best players ever to play the game. Pipe down over there. But. You know, the question then I have would be, if let's say I haven't done much research on Bronny, and on, you know, if he is a one and done or two and done or whatever, but let's say he's a fringe first round pick. Alright, a fringe first round pick. Would you draft him 15 or 16 if you knew you were going to get LeBron?
I was thinking the same thing. Would you draft him number 3 overall if you knew LeBron was
going to play with his son? If he's a fringe first-round kid, and he may be a lottery guy, I don't know. I mean, would you pick him just so you could get LeBron? Because you may not win. I mean, I think LeBron's still got about 4 or 5 years left in him. I think a pretty good four or five years left in him. But you know the ticket sales. Your fan base is going to be pumped because you're going to have LeBron James. And so that, I mean, that's the, you know, big question in my opinion. So, but.
Mr. LeBron James' biggest fan over here. What do you think, pal?
Man, that was a stumped question, I'm not going to lie, man. I am a big LeBron guy. In my opinion, he's the greatest to ever play the game of basketball. This is what I think about it. Okay, LeBron is wanting to win championships. Like, that's what he's always been about, right? Everywhere he's gone, he's trying to win a championship, right? That's everybody's goal. So you're trying to win a championship. Okay, LeBron attracts greatness. Like, he's not going to put himself in a situation where he knows he's not going to have no help. He's not, right? He's not going to do that, right? Like, when he left for Miami, he said, If I go to Miami, I'm bringing Chris Bosh with me. I'm going to attract people to come to Miami, and we're going to go win a title. Okay, they did. Then Cleveland was a lottery pick. They had Kyrie. Yes.
What's your excuse for Russell Wilson or Russell Westbrook, man? Because you.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I'm giving you the LeBron quick timeline before we get into the question. Okay. Same thing. Cleveland. They were lottery picks, right? Even Kyrie was there. They won 27 and then 29, with 2 years that Kyrie was there. LeBron went back to Cleveland, attracted talent, won a championship. L.A. was on the down year of Kobe and everything. Like, they were horrible. They were horrible. Went to L.A., attracted greatness, attracted all that talent, and they won a championship. Okay. People that want to make the argument that they got Carmelo, they got Russell Westbrook, those dudes are old. So is LeBron. Okay, but LeBron is still good. He's still relevant. He's still probably one of the greater basketball players in today's game. Like, he's still at that level. Okay, if Bronny Jr. goes one and done in college, and LeBron is still playing elite basketball, he is not going to leave to go to his son's team. And tell me this: would people not pay top tier money to go see LeBron and LeBron Jr. go at each other on different teams? Because
Top-tier money either way, yeah, to watch up as well.
So I think once LeBron knows, like, this is it, essentially, I'm done with it, then I think he says, you know what, let's go 1 year together. And if we win it, we win it. Because his son's going to go to more than likely a terrible team. Because his son's good. His son's really good. Like, good enough to go one and done and actually get drafted in the first round. So if he does that, he's going to probably, I think, be a draft pick. He's probably going to go to a bad team. LeBron's not going to put himself in that situation to go to a bad team. And so I think it's still going to be, I think, another, 2 years before Bronny can even get drafted. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's a junior this year in high school. So he's going to have a senior year.
I thought he was a senior, but he could be a junior.
I think he's a junior. So you have another senior year, finish 1 year in college, and then out, right? Which would essentially be 3 years from now that LeBron would essentially go to that team. And I think if LeBron, in his mind, is, hey, I can still play at elite level, and I have a chance to go win another championship, like, I have that in me, then I don't think he takes himself out of that situation. I think he stays where he's at and tries to win that ring, whether it be in L.A. or not. I don't know. But I think once he's like, hey, this is it. I don't have, I'm kind of done with it. I'm done with basketball. I'm ready to go just to the business side of things. I think he finds a way to take a veteran minimum contract and go play with LeBron James.
You know what else I think also kind of plays into that is, like you said, that he kind of brings people, even if he's not meaning to do so,
yes,
people want to go play with him.
People want to play with him.
Let's say that if his son were to get drafted by somebody like the Spurs, right, who don't necessarily have the money to bring in those people, mm-hmm. he probably couldn't do that, mm-hmm. right? Because the Spurs are at the bottom of the league right now, or close to it.
Yes.
But if he were to get drafted by someone like Houston, who's at the bottom of the league also, but has more money, more revenue, bigger town, more of a spectacle, I guess, mm-hmm. he were to be able to go there and play with him and also bring other people with him. Mm-hmm. I think that probably plays a little bit into that decision as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. You know, if he's not, like I said, like, you know, if LeBron James Jr. is on a team that has that money to go get other guys, then I could very well see him saying, you know what, like, let's just go play together. Obviously, he's like, Bronny Jr. knows everything that LeBron has taught him. Like, that he knows, LeBron knows how his son's going to work. But, you know, like you said, if he goes to a team that has no money to go get nobody else, I don't think he leaves. And I think he stays where he's at, and they hope, you know, and hopes that maybe down the road, you know, when he does decide to call it quits, they can play together maybe. Or do we see him doing a Jordan? Or leaving for a year.
And then coming back.
Well, the difference was Jordan left when he was still in his prime. And LeBron's not on a downward spiral, but he's definitely over that hill where his hills are going to...
I don't think LeBron lets himself get to, like, the Kobe stage.
Right.
So
right.
I have to call it the Kobe stage, where he's... Everybody's watching him because it's Kobe, but he's just shooting 50 times a game.
He's going 7 for 27.
It's a detriment to the team.
If he dropped 60 in his last game, guys, come on.
He shot 50 times.
They weren't guarding him. It was like the one time.
Just score more points than you shoot, I'm okay with it.
He shot
All I know is
going back to what Coach Miss said, if Bronny and LeBron James go to Houston, I'm almost positive Yao Ming comes out of retirement.
Tracy McGrady somehow finds his way back onto the basketball court, and we have no idea what to do anymore with our lives.
I love y'all. I love y'all. All right, so I think he would join Bronny to help Bronny build his brand.
I think he would. I think he will too, because it's that.
So I think eventually he does. But I don't think it's right away.
I think
he feels like he has years.
I think if he's thinking about calling it quits here in 2 years, or he's already starting to feel it, he joins him.
Yeah.
And he joins him to help Bronny build his brand. That way Bronny can have his own brand. Now let's get real. If my dad had millions and millions of dollars, he would help me build my brand. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't. So, I think it helps.
And think about how epic it would be to see the D-Wade LeBron picture, right? The alley-oop where D-Wade has his arms out and LeBron's throwing it down, but with LeBron and his son. Think about how awesome that would be.
And then if they play together, yes, people would see, it'll probably be one of the biggest basketball events ever to see them play against each other. But every town they travel to that first year is going to pay a lot of money to see them play together. And that's more than one or two games a year. So,
but again, it comes back to, I think LeBron's got 4 to 5 years left to him. Bronny won't be in the NBA till 2025.
I could see because he could be
the first father son team. I think it's a big deal to him. But
I think he would want to play with his son. To be honest, he would be like, you know, I saw like. Be crazy though, right? To be like, I mean, like Ken Griffey and his son, like, to like literally watch his son grow up and be like, hey, we're playing professional sports together.
There's only like two people I could think of that happened with Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr. and Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio.
This guy,
I'm just saying, man.
What are you talking about? I see it all the time, Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. when I'm playing the show. I buy both their cards. They're both in my outfield. That's all I'm saying.
So, you know, getting close to closing her down here, getting into our last little segment here. What is firing you up? Like, what right now? Doesn't have to be sports related. Anything in your life, anything in the world that's firing you up, what is that thing?
Nasty Nolan, go.
I'll tell you what's firing me up. As you all know, I'm a big Purdue fan, and they've rallied all 5 in a row after beating Michigan today. Big game against Illinois for the first place in the Big Ten standings. I'm fired up for that game. If it wasn't for a small little other thing that got going on that afternoon, I'd be able to watch it live. I'm going to have to turn off the phone, keep everything, shut off communications, and watch the tape delay. But I'm fired up for that because, you know, there's a I'm a big Purdue guy. It's been a good athletic season so far for my Boilermakers, with football winning 9 games and basketball being top 3 in the nation and possibly going to the Final Four and hopefully playing the South Regional in the Sweet 16, where I have already got my ticket. So
going off that, Illinois, what fired me up this weekend, it already happened. It happened this morning again. Everyone, y'all know how much I like to put a little wager down on Big Ten basketball. Y'all know I've been riding that Indiana. I've been talking about Trace Jackson Davis, undersized center, but he's dominant. He's going to be a next level pro. Well, this morning, he went up against Illinois' own Kofi Cockburn, 7 foot, 270, and got dominated. He got destroyed. And I realized, this guy's great college basketball player, but when it comes down to playing real big men, because Kofi Cockburn's going to go in the first round, he's don't got it. And I feel stupid. I really do, because I told everybody, and I kept telling everybody, Indiana and Trace Jackson Davis and Race Thompson, you know, all of them.
I understand, because we all make mistakes, and I made the same mistake this morning, too.
Well, your first mistake is you're betting Big Ten basketball.
That's the best conference to bet on.
Basketball in general. Only you should be betting Indians.
I think your mistake is that y'all bet way too much. 1-800-GAMBLER is a real thing. I'll give you the phone number.
Drink the Gatorade.
No, not a thing. But yes, so Trace Jackson Davis, you let me down.
The one thing that has fired me up, and it was of recent, still fired up about it. It was more of like last week it kind of happened. But, because this is a coach's office sports podcast. Right, so we are all coaches. It took me 3 months to study the under the hood for getting my CDL. Like, that is what killed me in my pre-trip. It was the CDL under the hood pre-trip. Last week, they waived it for 3 months. That fired me up. I was like, are you kidding me? I studied for this thing for 3 months, every day, just studying on YouTube and websites, whatever I got to do to memorize all the under the hood stuff. All of it. Me and Malin did it. All of it. And as soon as we get our CDLs, they came out and said, yeah, we're just going to wait.
It was literally like the day after I got my CDL, I read that it's waived.
It's waived for 3 months till April.
I guess it's time for me to try to get my CDL.
Yeah, like now would be the perfect time. Because they're waiving all the hard stuff. And all the easy stuff is if you can drive.
Yeah.
Nope, I'm still going to wait till they make me.
They're making me.
That is what fired me up. Smith, what has fired you up?
You know, we kind of touched on it at the beginning, but, you know, I've mentioned multiple times that I'm a huge wrestling fan. We're on the road to WrestleMania, man. That's a big deal for me. That's wrestling Super Bowl, you know. It's a really big deal. In Dallas this year, or in Arlington, I guess, a 2-night event. Big stuff looking like it's going to be happening, a couple big things. Another thing that's super firing me up is that there's rumors that there's going to be some kind of involvement with Stone Cold Steve Austin, so that's always a really big thing for me. And, you know, WrestleMania is going to be here beginning of April. Coach Trevino actually has tickets to it, and I would have been able to go with him if I would have agreed to coach women's basketball with him, but I did not do that. So
bet you feel silly about that now.
And I feel really bad because I was like, there's no way you're going to get tickets, pal. And he did. Now I'm going to be sitting at home watching it, and he's going to be in the stands. So
you made a different wager there with him, man.
That's firing me up a little bit.
I told him I would coach girls basketball with him, and he got me Super Bowl tickets. That didn't happen. He didn't get Super Bowl tickets.
Well, he pulled off the WrestleMania tickets, man, and I turned him down before he was able to actually do that. But yeah, that's what I'm fired up for, man. All the wrestling leading up to now is going to be a little bit more entertaining, a little more star power. Goldberg came back last night, so that's always a big thing.
Goldberg.
He always kind of shows up around WrestleMania time, has a match or two that, you know, hit a couple big moves and go home in about 3 minutes. But you know, it's always nice to see those older cats that you watch whenever you were a younger, like a kid, and seeing them come back. So, yeah, that's what I'm fired up for, man. Road to WrestleMania, big deal. I'm going to be locked in to WWE programming pretty hardcore for the next 2 months, as if I'm not already locked into it. So,
like I said earlier, WrestleMania party.
I will also say a fun fact that you taught me. I had no idea Rey Mysterio was in the WWE. I did not know that until you said
they won the tag team championships together. First ever father-son duo to do that, which is a big milestone. That speaks more to longevity and taking care of your body for someone than...
Is his son as short as he is?
No, his son's like 6'1".
Yeah.
Like 6'1", like 2'10". Football. 2'10" or
really?
So.
Yeah.
He played at the NAIA like in San Diego, but he was like a free safety or a strong safety or something. Free he safety. Was pretty good, though.
Dang, didn't know that.
Yeah, he played for a couple years and decided he wanted to wrestle. But this is, it's been fun getting back together, fellas. Always enjoyed this. Like, this was my highlight of my week for a little bit until we got shut down with Christmas and COVID and everything else. But I've enjoyed our time together, man. This was a fun time, boys.
Yeah, I think we all got birthday parties to go to, too.
Yeah,
a lot of birthdays this weekend. Beginning of February has a lot of birthdays for some reason. I don't know where the 9 month point before this would have been, but a lot of people were, you know,
making babies
at this time. So this has been another episode of the Coach's Office Sports Podcast, and we are signing off, fellas.
All right. We'll see y'all.
We'll see y'all whenever we see y'all again. Dalvin, you got anything?
Thanks for having me on, boys.